Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Welcome back to another episode of the Ask for Football Army Football Show. I'm your host, Rob. Today we have a special guest here. We'll let him introduce himself when we get to that point in the show. Reception day has come and gone for the class of 2028. And with that, the Army football team, and indeed all the teams at West Point, has announced a bunch of new recruits. We're going to talk to All Things R Day this week with a very good friend of the show, Terry Brannon. We also served together many, many moons ago, if you can believe that. Terry is a member of a class of 1995, a former football recruit and a wide receiver, and the father of a current new cadet, Tex, who is a recruited tight end. Also, stay tuned a little bit later in the show. This is going to be breaking, so if you are watching this live, you're going to have to listen to the audio version of the show because we are going to announce our new sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley. She is a realtor out of the Vietnam area. But without further ado, I'm Rob, your host. We've got Terry in D.C. We got Dan in Coastal Connecticut. How we doing, guys?
Never better, man. Like I said, 2 miles today out in the old water at the beach. It's just too nice to swim inside. Had to go out. Nice. I'm just doing laps at the beach, but I mean, people were staring at me. But what can you do? It was a beautiful day out there.
It's where you should be.
Absolutely. How you doing, Terry?
Oh, doing good. It's very hot here in Arlington, Virginia, but yeah. Working from home, so it's all good every day.
Sweet. All right. As mentioned, we have a new sponsor. Her name is Jocelyn Bradley. She is a realtor. And like, if you don't know anything about her, you'll get to know her because we interview her for the show. But if you're PCSing into the Fort Liberty area, we have a new realtor for you. Jocelyn is a veteran who spent her career doing logistics in the Army. She's discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She is committed to helping her clients find their dream home. And when they're in the market, she provides exceptional service when she is working for you. Jocelyn also has an extended network of veteran realtors who can support you and if you're moving anywhere else across the country. So if you're not PCSing to the Fort Liberty area, she can help you find somebody that's going to help you relocate and find a soft place to land. So if you're in the market for a home, Jocelyn should be your first call. Jocelyn has decided to support us at Ask for Football this season, which is awesome, and she is the right person to get you into the home of your dreams. Even if you're not moving to Fort Liberty, she can still find a realtor that you can trust. There's a whole community of realtors that are grads. So when in doubt, call Jocelyn and she can point you in the right direction and get you there. You can find all of her information on the socials and a soon-to-be link on the Ask for Football website. She will have a tab somewhere on the page, just like everyone else. And I will kick it over to Dan for Army football news and updates. Well,
before we go on, let me just say I spent some time today talking to Omar, you know, contributor on the website and our American conference analyst, about just his future and life, which is interesting. And this is the kind of thing that makes me think of Omar, because if you're buying a house, if you've never bought a house before, it is easily one of the top five most stressful things you're ever going to do, because all the paperwork that you have to sign is freaking overwhelming. And you're just talking about a huge amount of money relative to what you make on a day-to-day basis. So you really want to go with somebody you trust. I feel like we say this all the time, but yo, guys, reach out. There are people in your network, the West Point network, who will help you. And that's like, if there's one thing I've learned doing Astro football these last few years, reach out, because we can help like Army folks move. So anyway, enough. That's a commercial.
Nice.
Hey, listen, I am grateful for her support. We yeah. could not do this without the income that Jocelyn provides by supporting this show. And oh, Terry's losing it, man. You're having some problems. And I am legitimately grateful. And I want you guys to buy like 50 houses from Jocelyn. I'll be so happy if that happens.
Yeah, for sure.
So anyway, yeah, man. News. Army put 5 players onto the Phil Steele's preseason all AAC list, all American Conference list, starting with center Brady Small, who is not small, by the way. He's a second team center. He started all 12 games last year at center as a plebe. That's freaking nuts. It's the first time that had happened since 2017. Safety Max DiDomenico, second team defense. DiDomenico was named as a team captain this season. Mm-hmm. He had an outstanding back half of the season last year. 52 tackles, two interceptions, including one in the Army-Navy game, I believe. Offensive lineman Lucas Scott, third team offense, started 11 games. Notably, he's a converted tight end. We're going to come back to that. And linebacker Caleb Fortner. Oh, there's two more. Linebacker Caleb Fortner, third team defense. Fortner played in 12 games last year, 68 tackles, 30 solo, 3.5 sacks, 3.5 tackles for loss, 2.5 sacks. We all saw him force that fumble that he returned for a touchdown in the Army-Navy game. And finally, Kanye Udoh, fourth-team offense, played in 10 games as a plebe, averaged 3.5 yards per carry. Udoh was actually recruited as a fullback, which is amazing, considering that he had to transition to running back last year in the spread offense. So this will be his first year playing his actual position in this offense. Like, it's crazy. We haven't even seen what this kid can do, if you want to be honest with you. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I think those preseason stuff is usually hokum, but when it comes to Army, for them to get accolades, that's a pretty good thing, and that's like, it's the difference between knowing the path and walking the path. Like I think you can see it on the roadmap, but it just shows that those guys have a lot of potential going forward into the season, and I think there's expectations for them. There's expectations for them as players, but there's also expectations of us from the fan base to see how they perform, particularly with the transition back to the new old offense.
Yeah. I wrote about that for Patreon today, and eventually we're going to put it out on the main site, but I thought the article was good. And I know Ray shouted it out too on the Firstie Club. So there's a little plug for the Firstie Club, since we had to take that commercial out now that we have an actual sponsor. Hey, sign into the Firstie Club and you can read my private analysis of our offense. Army's new recruiting class, 73 recruits. That's about average. 46 came through the prep school, which is outstanding. By position group, 5 cornerbacks, 9 defensive linemen, 7 inside linebackers, 4 kicker punters, 1 long snapper. Telling you, the way to get your kid into a Division I school is teach him to long snap.
Yeah. Yep.
11 offensive linemen, 4 outside linebackers, 3 quarterbacks, 12 running backs. Here I've combined the guys I think are going to be slot backs and fullbacks into running backs. 4 safeties, 8 tight end. Was I wrong about that? I thought there were 9 tight ends, Terry.
7, 8 sounds about right.
Okay.
What Army released from the prep school.
Yeah. 3, okay.
And 5 direct admits. Yeah.
Okay. And 5 wide receivers.
Yeah.
Friend of the show, Sal Interdonato, does a lot more work on recruiting than we do on this site. You know, we don't even usually like to talk about these kids until they've made it through Beast Barracks, just because life is crazy. And if something goes wrong, we don't want to inadvertently ruin some kid's life. But, without going into specifics, the biggest thing that I noticed is that, first off, Army seems to have made a strategic decision to recruit height, especially along the offensive line. These kids are tall. Like, they're tall at a lot of position groups, but especially the offensive linemen are like 6'5", 6'6". And many of these guys – I'm sorry?
The tight ends, too, are about 3 inches taller across the board.
And many of these guys had, like, lots of competing offers and from some very good football schools. So – we saw dudes turn down Kansas, Missouri, Miami, Georgia State, JMU, Memphis, West Virginia, USF, Rice, Buffalo, San Diego State, Liberty, Pitt. Like, dudes are choosing West Point as a football school, which I think is awesome and kind of a switch. I mean, you know, recruiting rankings are like not a perfect crystal ball for a guy's potential, but it's encouraging, right? Rob, what do you think? And then Terry, I'll let you talk for a while.
Yeah, I think, being completely honest, right? Like it's going to be a tough nut to crack for Army, because you aren't going to get transfers in, right? We all know that with the transfer portal and everything else. But, you know, if you watch the portal, guys that you would think would end up having a tremendous impact end up going nowhere. Look at Sam Hartman. Sam Hartman, number one passer in the ACC, goes to Notre Dame, doesn't even get drafted. Like, he's playing in Washington as an unsigned free agent. You know, his starting salary is like $200K with a $20K signing bonus for a guy that should have been probably, you know, mid-second, maybe third-round kind of quarterback. And he transferred out, didn't have a great year at Notre Dame, and it hurt his draft chances. And so – you know, consistent play at Army, guess what? Hey, you may not be the number one draft pick in college football, but you know, the NFL has started, particularly in the last few years, to identify that a player coming from the Army football program is a solid. If I don't, you know, burn a draft pick on him, I can sign this kid as an undrafted free agent and give him an opportunity, and he's going to be thankful for that shot. So I think, you know, Army solid performance on the football field as an Army football player is a pathway into the pros. But regardless of how it pans out, you've got a profession on the back end of it that you can be.
Yeah.
So that's where I'll stop. But
so I got to say, talking about Sam Hartman, I'm so annoyed that he did not go to the Giants as an undrafted free agent. That was boneheaded move. He could have won that job out of camp. Anyway, Terry, go ahead, man.
All right, you want me? I'll introduce myself.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
So class of 95, classmates with Dan. I was in G1 and then C2. Grew up in Houston, Texas. You know, people, grads, looking out for grads. There's a there's a grad down in Houston called Randy Pace. He's class of 67. He's put over 200 football players from the Houston, Texas area, including Rick Roper, et cetera, from Houston into West Point, and helps them get found, make sure they get there. So that's how I got to West Point. Was recruited as a wide receiver, got cut after the spring game. And decided we threw one pass a game back then, and I was a receiver in a spread offense in Houston, Texas. So I was not a good blocker for the old triple option, and decided to have fun, learn the bagpipes, taught Sunday school, enjoyed the trips that the bagpipes did, and here I am now.
Awesome, man. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, let's get into it, man. Obviously, we're going to talk about Arde today, but, you know, obviously, okay. So Terry, you just introduced us to yourself, but, tell us a little bit about Texas process to choose West Point, I guess is the place to go.
Yep. So we were blessed. I'm still active duty Army. We got moved up to the Pentagon after Texas freshman year. So we started looking at schools in D.C. He already had made varsity as a freshman down in Texas, so pretty impressive. But we started looking at big-time football schools that also are great academically in the D.C. area near the Pentagon, and we settled on across everything both the Jesuit education, and it is the number one high school for athletes in the D.C. area, and it's Gonzaga College High School, where Caleb Williams played quarterback. So that made a no-brainer for us. He transferred in as a sophomore. That's where he also got his nickname. He was a big tight end coming from Texas, so they called him Tex. And he was born in San Antonio. So Gonzaga, over 200 colleges watched their spring ball. And Dan's been to a game up in the Bronx. I mean, it's a big-time football school. Their conference is huge. The WCAC. So on average, they put 10 to 15 kids in D1 programs every year just from the football team. From the class of 24, they put almost 50 kids playing D1 sports out of a class of 250. So that's the kind of school you have. So the scouts are going to come. So you start getting offers in spring ball and lining up unofficial visits. Ultimately, Tex had 22 D1 offers. He had all three academies. He had six of the Ivies. And then schools like Penn State, Pitt, Syracuse, and West Virginia, Wake Forest were still recruiting him when he decided last July, you know what, I always wanted to play football at Army West Point. This just helped solidify it. And he called Coach Monken and said, I'm committing. I'm stopping my recruiting. So we did that with Power 5 schools still recruiting him. And the recruiting visits were fun, but that's how.
Yeah.
You know, the smaller schools, they struggle to get scouts to look at them maybe, but schools like Gonzaga, they're always there. So the eyeballs are always on you at a school like Gonzaga. But we still had to narrow down which schools, you know, we did a flow chart, ranking criteria. It's different for everybody. Some kids,
you drew a literal flow chart, Terry?
We weighted criteria, et cetera. You know, what's important for you?
The old deck mac, yes.
Deck mat.
Oh, man.
Deck mat. You know, some kids are happy just being on Michigan's football team, and they know they'll never play. Yeah. Some kids say, I want to play all 4 years, so they'll do a D2 school, et cetera. But, yeah, that's how we came around to Tex committing to Army.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. All right, so I want to talk, like, I want to get into the Wayback Machine in a few minutes, but before we do that, like, talk me through our day as a dad, because I think a decent number of people listening to the show who are going to listen to the show have been through our day, but what's it like as a parent? Because that's probably a smaller number.
It was very different as a dad. I don't think when we went through, Dan, that they had staggered report times. Do you remember, you or Rob?
Oh, man, I don't remember anything from that day, are they?
I don't think they did anyway.
So nowadays they stagger the report times, which makes sense if you're trying to manage flow.
Yeah.
They stagger them alphabetically. Well, A to C was Tex Brannon, so we had the 0600 showtime.
Yeah.
Which was pretty early. You know, we stayed in Peekskill, so a short drive. But yeah, we had to get up. Tex didn't sleep much that night. He got up at 4:30. We left the hotel at 5:20. He had to check in at 6. And, you know, a key difference from when we did our day, we reported to the Hollander Center.
Right.
And now they have you come in through Stony Lonesome Gate and park in A lot at your showtime.
Okay.
And then you walk down to the Kimsey Center there and check in. And that starts your showtime at 6. They had the stations. I put some pictures. They had the stations inside the football indoor practice facility, not the Kimsey, the Foley Center, right?
Right.
Yep. The indoor practice field. And the difference, so we got the little paper clipped to our shorts. They do it all electronically now.
Oh, man.
They put a badge on you with a barcode and a QR code, and they scan the applicants at each station.
Nice. Okay.
And we went around the corner and got on the bus, and shout out to Class of 78. Peter Eschbach and the rest of them, they have the 50-year support classes now, which we didn't have.
Right.
So your 50-year class is there cheering you on, giving you snacks, all of our day.
That's wild.
Yeah, saying hi. Then we rolled down in buses to iCall, and then the auditorium starts in iCall with the staggered times.
Okay.
So that's where we got the welcome brief, and then the 90 seconds to say goodbye. And, you know, by 6:30, Tex was gone, and more like 7, and we were there.
Yeah,
so that's the big difference is now is the staggered report times. And we had the early one.
OK, but like what then? Like, OK, so it's 6:30 in the morning. It's and it's already been a long day. Text goes through the doors. We'll talk about that in a minute. But like what for you at that point? Yeah. Because
so for us, too, with the three little kids, we went back to the hotel.
Oh, wow. Actually, OK.
And had breakfast. And then we took a little nap for a little while and relaxed. Okay. And then, so I know Dan knows this. Our class has 12 kids of 95 in the class of 28.
Wow.
So all 11 dads were there that day. So we had a plan. After a couple hours in the hotel, we met back at noon at the Firsty Club.
And got blasted, God willing.
We had some beers. We had lunch. And then the next thing is 15:30 is the superintendent's brief. And then after that is 18:30, the oath ceremony.
Okay.
So kind of after the lunch of the Firsty Club, you know, I have a cat card still. So one of our classmates, Brent Brown, he had another son along. They wanted to see Arvin Jim.
Okay.
So he's not allowed to go past the secret walls, but I am with a cat card. So I walked him in as a guest, and we walked around Arvin Jim, and from the side window, we could look out and see the new cadets doing their thing.
Wow.
He wanted to see the boxing room, which is incredible now. And we looked at the pool, Dan.
Okay.
So we walked around, we got ice cream, we hung out for about an hour, and then we had the soups brief at 15:30, which was well done.
Okay.
You know, Pam wanted to share, you know, General Gillen's wife is a 90 grad as well.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So they're classmates. She spoke as well. So, and they've had one of their sons both go through the academy as well. So they were both able to give their views as our day as cadets and then as parents too. So that was neat. And then we just visited with friends and classmates. And then 18:30 is the oath ceremony.
And then, did you see Tex during?
We could, yeah. During so the they march, seat you. We yeah, can't miss him. 6'6" with glasses. They seat.
I gotta say, I think he looks remarkably different with a shaved head.
Every kid does, yeah. Nude. So yeah, we could see him. They seat you by. They have the stands labeled by lining you up in front of the cadet companies.
Okay.
So we sat in front of Foxtrot Company with some a class of 97 grad.
Yeah.
His son Charlie is in a Texas class. They were teammates at Clean High School.
Oh, that's amazing.
So, yeah, we sat with Cleet and Beth Getz.
I can't even imagine. Go up so there and know
cool.
people.
That was cool seeing.
All right. So, as promised, let's get back. Let's get into the Wayback Machine. And let's talk about what happens on the other side of the door. And yeah. and I'll just set this up and say, yeah. I remember for me, probably the biggest thing that I remember is just it's like diving into a pool. Like you walk up those steps and then as soon as you go through those doors, like that's one of life's bright line experiences. On this side of the door, you're a civilian.
Yeah.
You walk through and you're instantly fully in the Army with no transition. And it's extremely jarring. So that's the one thing. And similarly, not about our day specifically, but being an athletic recruit is, in my opinion, really poor preparation for the reality of Beast Barracks.
Yeah.
Because Ray says, I remember nothing, and I mean nothing from that day.
Yep.
So, you know, speaking personally, I got very used to people telling me like what an amazing American I was for choosing West Point. And then the reality of being like just another guy is pretty hard ego check, both on our day and through the rest of Beast Barracks. You know, long term, my favorite part of being a West Pointer is that, you know, it's an amazing group of people and we're all kind of in it together. But yo, in the moment, going from high school hero to West Point hero is extremely challenging. So, Terry, what do you think?
I agree. I was looking over your script and notes today and trying to remember my R-Day memory. I flew up by myself from Texas. I remember I had already gone to a year of military school before that on the West Point Preparatory Scholarship. So, I wore my already highly dressed leather dress shoes on my feet.
Well, that was smart. Yeah, good.
I flew up. They had to stay somewhere in Newark.
Yeah.
And
I've heard stories of the party that was at that hotel the night before.
Yeah, the bus brought us there. And like you and Ray, it sounds like once I went through the door, I don't remember the rest of the day besides, you know, getting your haircut and getting on PTs and clipping the slip and running around all day.
Rob?
Yeah, I've watched videos of class of 28 and it's the same thing. I could tell they started moving out as soon as they went through the door from the auditorium. Yeah. And I've seen the videos on the backside of that and it's no change. They harass them onto the bus all day. And let's just say, Tex being a recruited athlete, he saw the cadet in the red sash many, many times that day.
Nice.
He was not a first time go. It was double digits.
Wow.
Rob, hey, Brent Brown's on. Cool.
Nice.
Rob, you got a comment? You remember?
Yeah. Anything? So my experience was a little bit different, but you also got to realize that Army brat, my old man was a sergeant major. So DNC was pretty easy. You know what I mean? Like the reporting to the cadet in the red sash. I did get my butt chewed though, because I used an acronym. They're like, hey, where'd you learn to salute like that? I was in ROTC and then I got my face ripped off, of course, because you're not supposed to do that. But, my formative R-Day experience that reminded me, and so my classmate Doug, and if you know Doug Philippone, then you know Doug Philippone. So he showed up from Ranger Battalion in spits and starches and a black beret, and he was standing right in front of me. So like when we turned the corner, I had nothing to worry about because all eyes were on him. Like he was like sharp attacked, and I was like, "Whoo! All right." Good for him. I'm just going to fly under the radar right here and just poke the wall and not get blitzed. But like, I remember just like everybody come here, Ranger. And I was like,
his sergeant did him wrong.
Yeah. Like they, like whoever set him up, him up.
Dude.
He should have come in there in like flip flops and a sweatshirt or something. Cause he
like
got
everyone smoked. Else.
Yeah. Yeah. He did not blend in. We'll say that.
No.
All right, let's transition a little bit and talk about the offense. And like I said, I just wrote about this today, kind of inspired by us talking about this offline. But, okay, so we know that Texas is a recruited tight end, and more to the point, they recruited freaking eight of them. So what can we look forward to from that position group, from the offense in general? I mean, I you probably know more than you want to necessarily get into, but you know, talk to us, Terry. What can you tell us?
So you know, I've looked at the roster. I've met a lot of them. I know it's public knowledge that against Boston College, we're in UTSA. We were running three tight end package for a long time.
Yeah.
And we tore UTSA up. And then at Boston College, we started the first half in that too, and we went away from it. And then the game, the momentum game changed, and they were not happy. Their DNs were not happy when we were in the three tight end package, and they were worried we were going to stay in that the rest of the day. So, you know, just my conjecture and then input, you know, we recruited some big time tight ends who can block and catch and run after catch and have played all three slots of the tight end, you know, regular tight end, H-back, and slot receiver. And, you know, if we don't keep doing that, then we recruited these tight ends for a big waste. And that's my opinion. I don't think they will. And there's a couple who have played some D end, you know, kind of like Andre Carter did as well. I'm not in the room there. I could see some of them rolling over to D end.
I could see one moving out to wide receiver, as I've told you before. You know, you put a 6'5" kid out there to be a possession receiver, and oh, by the way, if you need to flatten somebody on the perimeter, you can do that.
Well, every modern tight end lines up in that slot. UC Techs do it as well, so they do it already.
Okay.
See, they can stay a tight end and with their size and go down and block and go in the H position and still go to slot.
Okay.
But yeah, there's a couple of the tight ends that dwarf any of our DN recruits, so I could see one or two of them getting rolled to DN like Carter did as well.
Yeah, sure.
You can't teach a wingspan of 81 inches at DN.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
All right. So if you have listened to this show before, then you know that we have a sponsor on Azure Football named Craig Oxane, the Vice President of Residential Lending for New American Funding in Chicago. Friends, Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. He is one of the best, most significant VA lenders in the country. Craig is going to offer you super competitive rates. He's going to give you the best deal that he possibly can. But as we already discussed, the mortgage process is confusing. Interest rates are moving all over the place, and it's just not the time to deal with some clown who's trying to make a buck off you. And that is what a lot of people are doing, right? And you want to deal with somebody who actually cares about you, not a call center, not some random big box bank, mindless website. And as we've discussed, this is how the West Point network functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at As for Football, and we're trying to introduce you to the guy that you need to meet to get the best deal on a mortgage that you possibly can. And if you don't take advantage of that, I can't help you. Plus, this is important. Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. That's a huge savings. It's like $1,300. If $1,300 means nothing to you, send it to Ask for Football because it means something to us. So Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending for New American Funding in Chicago. Check him out. Link's on our website. Just go to askforfootball.com. Click on the link. And while I'm talking about it, we don't have Jocelyn's link up yet. We will have that up hopefully by the end of the week. I'm telling you, we're going to be your one-stop shop for all things buying a house or refinancing. Nice. That's our goal here. Rob, you want to tee up this interview?
Yeah. So we're going to break this into the actual audio version of the podcast. So we're dropping the interview that I did last week with Jocelyn. So she was freaking out because she thought we were doing it on our day. And she's like, oh my gosh, did I miss it? It's like, no, you're fine. We're just going to pre-record it. But we pre-recorded the interview with her. She's an outstanding human being. Like, I really like Jocelyn a lot. She's a really good person. So give her a chance as a realtor if you are PCSing or if you just need to be connected with someone else that can help you find a place to live. Because, like, there are a lot of companies that will help you relocate, but not as many people will do it with the same level of professionalism or care that Jocelyn will. She's, you know, great person, great grad, great story of a person that could help you, you know, land in a place where you want to be. But we'll drop that in the podcast and in the audio version of this, and then we'll be ready to, you know, have her help people find a home. Make sure that you tell her that Ask for Football sent you, so she knows that her, you know, her money was well spent. All right, we are here. And so we've got a new sponsor here at Ask for Football. She is a Army graduate, so she is not a new person to the United States Military Academy, but she is new to this audience. And congratulations, Jocelyn, on being the first official lady guest on the Ask for Football
podcast because you are the first one. You're sponsoring us, which is even better, but we really appreciate you being here. But standard stuff that we do here, we are going to interview Jocelyn Bradley, also known by her other handle as Jocelyn Sells Houses, and boy does she, but I'm not going to dive too deep into that. We're going to go ahead and execute this interview. Once we get the interview done, we'll jump back into the rest of the show. But Jocelyn, thank you very, very much. One, for being, you know, just being interested enough to listen to our pitch and sponsor the show. But the other part of it is just being an excellent human being, because we used to work together and you are one of the best. And so without further ado, we'll dive into, but like, tell us your background, typical cadet stuff, you know, company, major, branch, first post, sure, kind of stuff.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely, Rob. Thank you so much for having me on the show. As for football has been, you know, an interesting turn of events, considering, you know, I went to school from 2006 to 2010, and I don't remember winning very many football games, cheering in the stands. But that's okay. Here we are, you know, 15 years later, I have an appreciation for the alma mater and everything that comes with that. I am a 2010 grad. I was an A3 as a plebe, and then D1 Go Ducks my yup, cow, and firsty years. I was a double language major in Russian and German, with a first semester, firsty year semester abroad to Ukraine. I lived in Kiev for a few months. And I was on the equestrian team my freshman year, and then I was a rabble rouser my yuck year, and then I did intramurals my last 2 years. And as you already know, Rob, I did WKDT radio for all 4 years of my cadet experience.
Yeah, I think WKDT is the express lane to getting on Ask for Football, because we actually have like several alums there, and like rabble rouser, and like I think Dan is the only person that kind of doesn't fit with the crew now, you know. So you got KDT people or rabble rousers, and you're both. But you know, like I immediately say, wow, the Corps has, because my semester abroad was at Fort Knox, Kentucky, supporting mounted maneuver training. So that's what I ended up doing for CTLT after airborne school. So that was my exciting time. The only cool part about it was I actually had a Army football player as my company commander or battery commander when I was down there. So, you know, it was a good time. I got to learn about the Army. And again, it's a very, very unique place to be.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Graduating in 2020, that was a rough, rough time for Army football. You know, there was quite a few not great seasons then. And I'll tell you, one of the difficulties is, and, you know, I had a conversation earlier this week with a guy who's following UConn football. And one of the things that's very, very difficult is when you have programs that have success around you, and then the football team is supposed to be like the revenue generating big time part of the organization, and they just don't do well. And like Army is coming out of that, and, you know, a lot credit to Coach Munkin and the coaching staff and, you know, the athletic department, getting some people in there that understand the culture. And I think culture is everything. And that's a huge part of the success, to be honest, is the fact that we've been able to tap into, you know, understanding the profession of arms after football and how football relates to that. But that being said, a semester abroad, could you expand on that? Because like I said, I got nothing that cool. You must have been like Smarty Pants, Starring Wreath Geek or something while you were cool to get that opportunity.
No, not at all. Gosh, I was a German major for like the first couple of years, and then I was already fluent in German when I had joined, you know, the academy. And so, you know, those classes were pretty, I wouldn't say like not challenging, but having already been fluent in German, I was looking for something different. And there were vacancies in the Russian department, and they're like, hey, if you join the Russian department as your and you're a Russian major, we have slots available. We want to send people. So if you do this, we can send you first year. And I was like, say less, fam. And signed up for Russian. So here we are.
Yeah, that's like super, super, super interesting. And the reason why I say that is because like when we really, you know, one of the things in hindsight about the academy that I've learned and I've grown to appreciate is the fact that straight up, we have the opportunity to experience so many different things as cadets at West Point. Like now, you know, just something as simple as going to jump school while you're a cadet, or air assault school, or some other, you know, military course that's available to you that as a, you know, as a person in the uniform, your soldiers probably wouldn't get that opportunity, and you may not get that opportunity either. So it's a really great place to go. And like I said, from a fan perspective with the school, I don't know if you saw Mr. Josh Prey, all over social media. If you haven't seen it, I'll send it to you afterwards. But the guy, basically his son went to West Point and was getting recruited. And the guy, if you could have had a checklist of all the things that you would want to positively talk about the academy, like he hit all of it in like a Twitter video in like 3 minutes. And it was pretty amazing. So, you know, definitely plug in that guy, because it was hilarious on top of everything else. But it just shows the power of the academy. And when a person that has no association with West Point can glean that much knowledge from a short trip there, then it's very, very important to understand like what the community of graduates can do for you after the academy as well.
Oh my gosh. The network is so robust.
Yeah. I mean, it's never a boring time. And, you know, and I say this all the time. It's like, look, we're all cocky and crazy when we're under the age of 25. Now that we're closing in on 40, or some of us are beyond it, everybody's a lot nicer. You know, everybody's a heck of a lot nicer now that we're, you know, past 40 years old and we've got, you know, zeros on the back ends of our reunions. And like, they're going to start moving closer and closer to the springtime because we can't go in the winter because it's crazy. But why we really have you here is you're sponsoring the show. But the real reason why we want you to talk about is your real estate. Because one of our sponsors here, and you know, you've heard the commercial earlier in the show, is Craig Oxane. Craig does VA lending, right? Which is super, super awesome. But the other part of it is like, now we're bringing the team together. So like, not only can you get your loan done, but you have somebody that can help you find a home. But tell us a little bit about your journey becoming a realtor, and you're incredibly successful. Look, folks, don't let the smooth taste fool you. Jocelyn is a killer when it comes to moving houses. She just does it with a smile on her face that is very, very, you know, it puts you at ease. But like, you're killing it, girl. And I want you to be able to just, you know, let our audience know about how well things are going for you, but like how you got through that journey, because like, there are a lot of people that are realtors with varying degrees of success.
Sure. No, that's a really great point, Rob. I kind of fell into real estate full time. I'd gotten out of active duty in 2019. I'd gotten my real estate license because I wanted to invest in houses. I bought a couple houses using a real estate agent, and I was like, I want to be able to go see houses on my own. How do I do that? I need to have a license to go see houses and for myself. I never thought that I'd be a real estate agent for other people buying houses. And after I got out of the military, I went into the reserves and I became a DA civilian for a very short amount of time. This was right before COVID started. And then when COVID started, since I was one of the newest hires, I was let go immediately. And that was like really, really shocking and unexpected. And so having a real estate license and, you know, having already been starting to work with other USMA grads in the network who were coming to the Fort Liberty community, kind of allowed me to ramp that up and focus on that full time. And I never looked back, and it's been 5 years, you know? So it's been really amazing, you know, everything that we've been able to accomplish in Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. We've served over 200 clients in less than 5 years, which is, you know, a lot for you know, this one agent, you know, doing real estate. But I have a really great support system and, you know, a really amazing assistant. So it's not just me doing everything. I have a lot of back office support too.
Yeah. But like I said, like you're very, very humble and like over 200, like, look, there's large scale firms in this town that don't have that many clients, you know, and have not had the same level of success. And so that's a tribute to you, one, as a person, because like, you are a go-getter. But the other piece of it is like, you are one of, like, I had an NCO once that like could chew you out with a smile on his face, and that's you, right? Like, you are that type of person that like every interaction just doesn't seem as bad as it probably is or isn't, just because you do it with such poise. And so that's a hat, you know, hat off to you for that as well. But again,
yeah,
like, success breeds success, and part of the reason why I reached out to you is just basically because, like, we, you know, we need a sponsor. Like, we tend to lean towards cadets or former cadets that are in businesses that are of interest, right? And everybody needs a house, right? That's why Craig was a good fit. That's why you're a great fit for us here as a team, is because, like, everybody's going to PCS. And, oh, by the way, if you are a grunt, you have a better than even chance that you are going to end up at Fort Liberty at some point in your career. Bending in Liberty, you know, I spent half my career
back and forth.
Yeah, at those two military posts. So, right. You know, just and, understanding that.
And Rob, the great thing about, you know, being in real estate is, even if, you know, the people who are listening to this show aren't coming to Fort Liberty as, you know, their first duty station or a duty station, if they need help finding a real estate agent at a different duty station, you know, we can help with that too. So we do offer a lot of those services to help that transition, regardless of whether or not they're coming to Fort Liberty.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the other things too. It's like relocation services are always kind of tricky. Because, like, yeah, I can go with a larger organization, and, like, sometimes you get lucky. Like, we got super lucky when we moved here. A guy that helped us move here literally was like, look, if you guys don't put an offer in on this house, I'm going to buy it for my daughter because, like, I love this view in this neighborhood, you know? And, like, if somebody tells me that, then it's like, okay, there's obviously something that I missed when I walked the floor plan of this house. And so we, you know, we entertained it and we did a deeper dive onto it. But I think it's really important to have to be comfortable with the person that you're working with, because if I'm not comfortable with you, I'm not going to call if something is going wrong. And so those types of assurances that, you know, yes, I stamp of approval, I'm putting my foot down right now. I'm stomping the floor three times for everybody that's listening. It's like, look, Jocelyn will take good care of you if you use her as a realtor, or even if it's just for a referral. And that's ultimately, at the end of the day, we just want to get, you know, your voice out to the masses. We have a platform to do that, and anything that we can help you do to, you know, improve your business is great, because you're helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football. And hey, we say this all the time, this is how the West Point network works, right? We have all these disparate people in all these disparate places doing different things. Only 2% of your class will ever, like, not even 2%, probably a 0.5% of your class will make it to general officer ranks. The rest of you will be somewhere between, you know, graduation and 20 to 30 years of service. And in that time, people are going to pick up a lot of different skill sets that could be helpful and beneficial to you both in and out of the uniform. So that's why we have Jocelyn here today. Really, really appreciate your time, and really looking forward to having you as a sponsor, and hopefully eventually one of these times catching an actual Army football game. Not going to happen this year in the state of North Carolina, unfortunately, because ECU and UNC Charlotte are not on the schedule this year, at least not for home games at their place. But we are hoping soon to have an Army football game local here, and then throw a big tailgate.
That would, like, be so cool.
Like, we need to have, and besides, I have a whole bunch of Ask for Football mugs and stickers that I have to give away that are sitting in my house, and I get yelled at every time there's something extra extraneous laying around. So I need to get these things moving. But really appreciate you coming on today. Thank you very much for coming to the show. Again, Jocelyn Bradley, Jocelyn Sells Houses, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Like, just Google her. She'll have a little button on our website. Just click on it and reach out. You will definitely be pleased with the results of the interaction. Anyway, we're going to jump back into the rest of the show. Jocelyn, once again, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Rob.
Be Navy. All right. So, Dan, you got a favorite thing?
I do, man. I already talked about swimming today. The Swim Across the Sound is coming up. It is the first Saturday in August. And I mention this because now is your opportunity to help us beat cancer. I love swimming. You guys know that. That's not some secret. But I do this event because it raises money for people who are going through cancer treatments. And, you know, cancer is expensive on top of everything else. And so it helps you, it helps people who are suffering pay their bills, keep their house, keep the lights on, that sort of thing. It's a local charity for me here in Connecticut, and it means a lot. So if you're interested, probably the easiest thing to do is to go to @DanoEcabeza on Twitter. And, you know, if you find my profile, you can easily you know, donate to me or to our team or just to the, if you think I'm an asshole, but you want to beat cancer anyway, donate to the hospital or just to the charity itself. I really don't care. You know, cancer killed both my parents, or excuse me, killed my mother and all four of my grandparents. My father got cancer, but he survived sort of. This is what I'm doing, right? I mean, one of the reasons we've done less As for Football lately is because this is what I'm doing right now. So anyway, thank you. Rob, right. Talk football, because that's
right, that got a little heavy. All right, just to lighten things up a little bit. So we're about, depending upon which version of the game you purchased, we're between 6 and 9 days of the new NCAA college football game coming out. So if you bought the super, super deluxe premium edition with the spinners on it, then you'll get the game on the 15th. If not, you get it on the 17th or 18th, something like that. But there's a lot of buzz around this game, to be honest. I'm not a gaming insider, so I haven't got to play the game or preview it, but there's a lot of stuff on YouTube of guys that actually do press and streams that have had the opportunity to play the game, and everyone is excited about it. So one of the things that's kind of cool is, like, you can't max out your coaching skill tree anymore like in the old game. Like, you just play long enough and you have all categories maxed out. What they've done is they've built three archetypes for your coaches. So you can have a tactician who's great for making in-game adjustments. Mm-hmm. You've got the motivator who can get the team fired up, and then you've got the recruiter. Mm-hmm. So you have three methods of basically approaching the coaching premises, and, like, hey, just like any other coach in reality, you have to build a team around you that can do the other aspects where you're not as strong. The option play looks great. You know, one of the things that they focused on is the gameplay itself, just because there's so many RPOs now that you can't not have the option be better. You know, so the mechanics are a lot better. You can do a quick pitch, you can do an actual heavy pitch, or you can do a fake pitch, which is awesome. And then, you know, the entire triple option playbook for Air Force, Navy, and Army is going to be available. So you'll be able to, you know, of course, build your own custom playbook and make the tweaks or whatever. But the reality of it is like, because the RPO has become a thing in college football, the option is just as big a part of the play as the passing. And they've changed the passing mechanics as well. So, like, the better your quarterback is, you'll get indicators of where you need to release the ball. So if you release it too soon, it gets picked off. If you release it in the right spot, it's like a back shoulder throw that only your guy can catch. So they've done a lot of work on that. And then, you know, ultimately, I know there was some stuff floating around on the socials about the rocket being integrated into the game. But that was part of the whole mechanics of this thing, is to make it as immersive as possible to the college football experience. Yep. So they literally have gone, like, the Penn State entrance is, like, literally shot for shot. The Nittany Lion comes out, opens the gate, and, you know, in a whiteout game at home, Penn State's coming out. The crowd's chanting, "We are Penn State." You know, all the things that are staples of college football that you normally would see at a game, they tried to bring it into this version of it. And, you know, quite frankly, EA knows that they have to, because it's been a decade. So if they don't have significant improvements over the last one, then it's going to fall flat. And, you know, you're paying $70 for a video game, so you got to make it good for people to buy it. But it's exciting. I think a lot of people are going to be excited about it, and we'll see how it goes. And of course, I always like simulate the season just to see what it would roughly look like based off of the current rosters and the current play. And then one of the other embellishments, and I'll leave it with that, is if you change conferences in the game, they actually update your jersey so you have the correct logo for whatever conference you're in. And that's just like, it's a little thing, but it's a big embellishment, because, like, you know, I've seen some people like, well, as soon as this game comes out, I'm putting everybody back into their old conferences, which you can do, you know. But it'll just be interesting, because they're trying to actually capture the landscape of college football. And then the talent management piece is hysterical, because, like, if you have a coach that recruits somebody and they like the coach and the coach leaves, better than even chance that kid's going to enter the portal and follow his coach. And so there's a lot of aspects of the new version of the college football that we see and we complain about every day. Well, welcome to your console game as well. But this is the end of the show. Go ahead.
So before we close it up, if you've been with the show for a long time, you will remember that Rob Wright used to stream games. He would simulate all the games on NC2A14. So Rob Robinson, you got to figure out how to do that, man. We gotta have highlight videos for the people, because everybody was sad when that stopped. Yeah. So there's your homework for you.
Okay. Geez. No big deal. We can make that happen. No, but the reality of it is like, people are excited about it. I think it's a good thing for college football. And, you know, like the difficulty, I think, delivering the game was just the negotiation to get the players on it, because there's NIL clauses now. So they have to do a lot of work to make that happen. So the players outside of the service academies are going to get like their Madden check, like the NFL guys do once a year. So it'll be interesting to see how it turns out.
Did you see that Arch Manning finally opted in?
Yeah, of course, because they made fun of him. He got relentlessly bludgeoned on Twitter, you know, because, I mean, look, you can't take a chance that you're going to be able to monetize your pro career.
No.
Previous discussion, Sam Hartman, right?
You gotta get the money.
Yeah, get it while you can. Like, look at what was his name? Harris at freaking UTSA. Yeah. That guy stayed there for 17 years, and now he's the mayor of San Antonio.
Yeah. But so, he did maximize his revenue there at UTSA. He got whatever was there.
Yeah. And so it's, you know, it's new college football. Unfortunately, it may not be our favorite thing with the name, image, and likeness, but that's the reality of the game that we're watching now. Anyway, we'll wrap this thing up. I'm your host, Rob, from Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Ikebasa calling out of Coastal Connecticut and Terry Brannon out of Washington, D.C. And this has been your Ask for Football Army Football Show. Hey, it's our day. 360-something days coming again next year. So if you have a prospective cadet that's going to be going in, like, we'd love to hear from you guys. Hit us up on the socials and just follow Ask for Football, and we'll be your source for Army sports. And as always, beat Navy.
Beat Navy.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to this week's Ask for Football Army Football Show. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into Army football. Remember, cheering in the stands, following along from home, get all your updates on the Army football team at askforfootball.com. And as a special thanks, we would like to thank our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you need. Visit jocelynbradley.com for all your real estate needs. Don't forget, subscribe, leave us a review, and follow us on social media for all the latest updates. Until next time, go Army, beat Navy!